Welcome back to Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington, and I'm joined by Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Hello, Brooks.
Hey, Robin.
And our own Superior-based reporter for Wisconsin Public Radio News, Danielle Kading. Hi, Danny.
Hi, Robin. You know, I have to say that I had absolutely no idea about the backstory for the 1812 Overture, so that was a really interesting history lesson right there.
Right. You know, as a journalist, I'm always careful about using words like first or only when describing historical events. It is possible, since Tchaikovsky wrote this thing in the 1880s, that somebody played it at some 4th of July before the Boston Pops in 1974. But can we say without quite the big bang that that one became?
Yeah, I mean, you can't do it without the cannons. It's right there in the score. I mean, you gotta love the song. It just fits, especially with our firework obsession, right?
Right. All right. Well, for those who'll be watching the fireworks in the harbor, if you've got an oar boat and you need it repaired, there's some changes in the works. Brooks?
Yeah, Fraser Industries, the 130-year-old shipyard in Superior, has new owners, one of them based in Oslo, Norway. So Oslo-based Cleves Invest and Chicago-based Boundary Mountain Infrastructure Partners said recently they're starting a joint venture to take over Fraser Shipyards and its related businesses, which include Lake Assault Boats and a few other companies. So the 130-year-old shipyard has been owned by the Capstan Corporation since 1977, and the new owners have some global ambitions for it. They really want to pump some money into it, I'm told, and you know, Cleves Invest focuses on, in part on offshore infrastructure like wind turbines. So I'm hoping to learn more soon and share more soon about what plans for the old shipyard are. But rest assured, it's not going anywhere.
All right. Well, back to our pandemic or post-pandemic news. Duluth is wrestling with what to do with federal relief money.
Yeah, quite a bit of it, too. So Duluth is receiving $58 million from the American Rescue Plan, and that's more than Mankato, St. Cloud, and Bloomington combined. It's a lot of money. We're getting based on a formula that's used to determine sort of community development block grants. So that said, you know, the Mayor Emily Larson said this week that she wants to spend $20 million of that on affordable housing. And another $13 million for utility infrastructure like new water meters, getting rid of some lead pipes, and broadband. Another $12, $17 million is going to be used on Duluth City Hall or to offset lost city revenue. And then there are other smaller initiatives here and there. So this is one-time money, and they're trying to tackle some initiatives that doesn't require ongoing funding, while also trying to address the effects of the pandemic on neighborhoods that were harder hit, hence the affordable housing pitch, as well as get some of those lead pipes out of the ground, which we talked about recently. So the Duluth City Council will take it up soon, and we may expect a decision by the end of July on how that money is going to be spent.
Okay. Well, Danny, on the Wisconsin side, and closer to home or to our pocketbooks, the governor and the GOP-dominated legislature are arguing over more direct relief to those receiving unemployment benefits.
Yeah, for weeks now, Republicans have been pushing a bill that would eliminate additional unemployment benefits for Wisconsinites who lost work during the coronavirus pandemic. And Governor Tony Evers vetoed that bill. Basically, you know, the GOP in Wisconsin and the business lobby has been saying, you know, we have more positions than we can fill right now, and we feel like this unemployment benefit is a disincentive for getting people back to work as we're recovering from the pandemic. But Evers said in his veto message that there's really no evidence to support the notion that eliminating supplemental unemployment benefits would bring more individuals back to work. But it's certainly an issue that the state has been facing, not just now recovering from the pandemic, but before in 2019, we had a worker shortage prior to the COVID-19 crisis. And so we are seeing some efforts to try and get people out back into the workforce. So it's just been an issue now, especially because of the pandemic, but also it was exacerbated because it was already an existing issue.
All right. Well, we've been speaking with Danielle Kading, the Superior-based reporter for WPR News. Thank you, Danny.
Thanks, Robin.
And Brooks Johnson of the Star Tribune's North Report team. Thank you, Brooks.
Thanks, Robin. Have a good holiday weekend.
You too. And all of you can read the stories by Brooks and the Star Tribune's entire Twin Ports Bureau at www.startribune.com/northreport. And you can also subscribe to their local newsletter. That's it for this edition of Simply Superior. I'm Robin Washington. We leave you with more of the music of Pippi Ardina and Daniel Leahy. And more than any other time, I would urge you in this long holiday weekend, stay safe, everyone.
While you're simply sitting around
with your head down to the ground,
why not ask?